And you're back with Rocket Right Radio. I'm Dr. Kay Solar in the house with Hurricane Betsy Barnes. And our medical segment is brought to you each week by Mary Bird Perkins, Our Lady of the Lake Cancer Center.
When you or someone you love is diagnosed with cancer, it can be all-encompassing, and every cancer experience is different. The staff and physicians at Mary Bird Perkins, Our Lady of the Lake Cancer Center will surround you with highly individualized resources and care to meet your every need and preference. Visit MaryBirdLake.org to learn more.
And since March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, we are talking today with Dr. Kelly Finan, who is the chair of the Rectal Multidisciplinary Care Team over at Mary Bird Perkins, Our Lady of the Lake Cancer Center. Welcome, Dr. Finan.
Thank you.
So first, let's explain the difference between some people hear colon cancer, then they hear rectal cancer, and then they hear colorectal cancer. Let's talk about the difference.
So it's really all a similar cancer. The type of cancer arises from the lining of the colon wall or the rectal wall. When we look at the anatomy in the body, the colon is about 5 feet long and transports the liquid stool around the body. And then the rectum is the last foot of colon before the stool exits the body. So it's an anatomic difference. And the difference is that rectal cancers, since they're in that last foot of bowel and are buried deep in the pelvis, are treated a little bit different, but it is a similar type of cancer.
Absolutely. So let's talk about that. And just a quick question for folks, because I guess they wonder, is it easier to detect rectal cancer because it's closer to the outlet than a cancer that's higher up in the colon?
So the detection means are similar and would be done by an endoscopy. Sometimes the symptoms for a rectal cancer can be a little more pronounced because it is right there towards the end of the rectum. So you might notice a little more bleeding than you would in a cancer higher up in the colon where the blood could get broken down. But really, the signs and symptoms are very similar for both the colon and rectal cancer.
Well, let's jump in and talk about treatment. Let's talk about, you know, if this is diagnosed, how is a rectal cancer treated?
Well, when we diagnose a rectal cancer, we usually get a biopsy and the pathologist can confirm it's cancer. And then we have to proceed forward with staging the cancer. And what that does is it tells us how deep it's gone through the rectal wall, if it's spread to any blood vessels or lymph nodes, and if it's spread anywhere else in the body. And that's done with some x-rays, such as a CT scan, and then an MRI around the rectal cancer. We also get some blood work. If we determine it's a localized cancer and has not spread beyond the wall of the rectum and is superficial, we can primarily treat that with surgery. If it's a more advanced cancer and has gone the whole way through the rectal wall or spread to lymph nodes, we usually start treatment with chemotherapy and radiation, followed by surgery, followed by further chemotherapy.
So the goal, of course, is to detect this before there are symptoms, because that treatment is easier. You're more apt to find it when it's contained. Let's talk about some of the new rectal cancer screening guidelines that came out this past year, because I think a lot of folks still don't know about that.
Absolutely. So the standard screening guidelines have always been age 50 and older, unless there was a family history or ongoing symptoms. We have noticed a much younger cohort of patients developing colon and rectal cancers, but actually rectal cancers in particular. And there's been several studies that have come out showing that the largest increase in colorectal cancers has been in the age 40 to 50 age group. So if we delay screening till 50, a lot of these patients aren't getting diagnosed at those early stages where they might not have a lot of symptoms. So in response to that, the American Cancer Society revised their screening guidelines in May and for the first time in several decades actually changed the guidelines to recommend screening start at the age of 45. And they actually recommend any screening test be done. A colonoscopy is still the gold standard because we get a look at the entire colon and rectal wall, and we can do any biopsies or remove any precancerous lesions. But if someone is opposed to doing a colonoscopy, it's still acceptable to do other means of screening, including like a stool study for blood in your stool or a stool DNA study. And if those are positive, recommend a colonoscopy.
Right. I mean, in the past, you know, and still, as we said, the colonoscopy is really the gold standard. But there are some women, and I mean, they'll be 60. I'm still trying to talk them in to getting a screening colonoscopy. So something is better than nothing, and at least it would detect blood, which would prompt you to be able to go to that next step and maybe convince someone that, of course, they need to do that step. And that was part of the new screening guidelines as well, correct? Not just the age change, but the offering of other types of screening modalities.
Yes. So, again, I think we're recognizing that our goal was to get to 80% of colorectal cancer screening by the year 2018. And unfortunately, we really haven't moved the needle much despite a lot of ongoing efforts. And some of it is still fear of getting that colonoscopy or maybe access to care. So if someone refuses a colonoscopy or doesn't have the means to do so, we recognize that any screening test is still better than nothing. So I would still encourage anyone to go forward with a colonoscopy. The benefit of a colonoscopy is it can be diagnostic, meaning we can identify an early cancer or more advanced cancer, but we can also prevent you from ever getting colon or rectal cancer by identifying polyps or precancerous lesions and removing them before it ever turns into a cancer. So that's why that's still the gold standard. Some of the other tests do look for blood in the stool, which really would only be found with an ulcerated, more advanced cancer. And there's another newer stool study that actually looks for DNA that would be shed in a cancer or a polyp. And if any of those are positive, it is recommended that someone go forward with a colonoscopy. It should be noted that if you have a positive study or symptoms and you go in for a colonoscopy, it is usually considered diagnostic and usually does have a higher copay for the patient, where a screening colonoscopy is usually 100% covered. So that is something that, you know, patients should be aware of. If they're debating between the two, they'll probably have better coverage to just go ahead and get the screening colonoscopy done at first.
Absolutely. And you mentioned symptoms. So let's jump in there and talk about some of those signs and symptoms of rectal cancer. We want folks to get in before they have that, but what do they need to be looking for?
Yeah, you always need to be paying attention to your body. So if you feel a change, you should always get things evaluated. But signs and symptoms of colorectal cancer can include abdominal pain, unintentional weight loss, a change in bowel function, which can be a change in the caliber or size of your stool, a change in the frequency, or maybe new onset constipation or diarrhea. We're also looking for blood in the stool, which can be bright red or can also be like a black tarry stool. So if you experience any of these signs or symptoms, we would strongly encourage you to get evaluated.
And as we know, that is one of the workups, too, when somebody is anemic. I mean, they throw that into my court a lot of times, you know, and they're not having bad cycles. Maybe they're menopausal. They don't even have any cycles. But someone who is anemic and has iron deficiency anemia, that is one of the things that is part of the workup, is to rule out a colorectal cancer.
Absolutely.
So what should we do if we notice those symptoms? You said you need to, like, call your doctor and then pursue one of these tests, correct?
Yeah. So I would call, you know, your primary care or gynecologist and just alert them that you're having these changes in symptoms. And almost always you'd be referred to undergo an endoscopy for evaluation and to get this looked into further. Every, you know, rectal bleeding is not a colon cancer, but you don't want to ignore it. You don't want to just write it off that this is hemorrhoids or I've had this for a while. You want to be certain, because unfortunately we see that too often than not, that patients say, oh, I just thought I had hemorrhoids, and they have a fairly advanced cancer that they've just been sitting on for a year or more.
Absolutely. Now, your rectal multidisciplinary care team at the Cancer Center is working toward a new accreditation. So can you tell us a little about that and how it benefits the patients here?
Yes, we're very proud of this program. We've noticed that there's been a real disparity in rectal cancer care in the United States for years, and a lot of variable outcomes. In Europe, what they did is they really focused centers of excellence where they had specialists that focused just on rectal cancer and worked together as a team, because it's not a single provider. It's just not a surgeon or a medical oncologist that's really going to affect the outcome. Everyone has to work together. So to model the European Centers of Excellence, the American College of Surgeons, in conjunction with some other societies, decided to try to mimic these outcomes by creating centers of excellence. It's called the NAPRC, and we are actively pursuing accreditation with this. There's only been 4 centers in the United States approved because they have fairly stringent guidelines, and you had to follow a full protocol for a year to apply.
Absolutely.
We are actively applying and hope to have accreditation by the end of the year.
Absolutely. And I know anybody wants additional information, that website is marybirdlake.org/colorectal. And thank you for being with us today. This has been Dr. Kelly Finan, who is a specialist with the Rectal Multidisciplinary Care Team at Mary Bird Perkins, Our Lady of the Lake Cancer Center.
More Rock and Ride Radio after this on Talk 107.3 FM.